This is Joanna Schrader reporting for DomesticFuel.com. And I am at the last day of the American Coalition for Ethanol Conference in Des Moines. And right now, I am with Bernie Hoffman with WB Services. And Bernie, your company, it's been around for quite a few years, but I should say, unfortunately, you're actually fairly new to our readers on Domestic Fuel.
That's right.
So I would like to start off and give us a little history of WB Services and kind of a brief overview of some of the different things that you offer.
Okay. Well, WB was started in 2006, mostly ex-ICM guys that built, collectively, we started up, built, financed, run about 100 ethanol plants. And it's a company, service company, providing a very wide range of services for ethanol plants. And today we have an active customer list of about 80 plants. We do turnaround support, we do plant management, we do operator training, we have a book of pre-engineered plant upgrades, we do plant expansions, we've done a number of sieve additions for European spec ethanol. We did 5 fermenters in the last year for additional fermentation time. Pretty much whatever customers drive us to do. Most of it's focused on plant enhancement, yield improvement, energy use reductions, water use reductions, those kinds of things.
And those kind of things, Bernie, if I'm correct, really help cut costs, correct? There's a really quick return on investment when they bring in a company like WP Services to come in and create more efficiencies, correct?
Yeah, we try and focus on stuff. We have a number of things that pay back in roughly a year or less. And so we know that's attractive to an ethanol plant. The capital cost is not high. Payback's pretty quick.
But I think one of the most exciting things, not that all of what you do can in its moments, right, be exciting, but you have a great new technology that your company's developed, and you're just now starting to add this technology to the ethanol plant. So let's talk about this technology that's really starting to take off.
Yeah. Actually, we have two related but different technologies that grew out of our desire to add value to distiller's corn. As we saw the industry ramp up the installation of corn oil recovery equipment, we looked for ways to add value. And in that process, we came up with two different technologies. One is a more of a refining-type technology that produces a renewable diesel, which is a very exciting technology. It produces an actual drop-in diesel that meets the ASTM 975 standard for petroleum diesel. If I were to give a lab a sample of our product and a sample of diesel I got out of a pump at a Cenex, they wouldn't be able to tell it apart. It's chemically identical to diesel. And then we're working with Novozymes to commercialize a biodiesel process to convert corn oil and other organic oils to biodiesel using an enzyme as opposed to the traditional transesterification. They're two different products, sort of two different types of operations, and they serve two different types of markets. Some customers really like the biodiesel, and some customers really like the renewable diesel. So it's customer driven.
So for a consumer, we have a lot of consumers outside of the industry who are interested in renewable energy and will listen to this interview. When you're talking about biodiesel, you're talking about diesel. For them, once it's at the pump, they don't know the difference? Or, is there a difference for a consumer at the pump as well between your renewable diesel and your biodiesel?
Yeah, and the difference would be the renewable diesel, they would never know any difference. They could put it directly in their car or truck right out of our facility. It might go in a pipeline, it might go in some terminal somewhere for distribution, where the biodiesel is going to have the same market restrictions or market entry that regular biodiesel would have. So it's going to typically be blended with petroleum diesel at a, at a B5 we've sold it to people that for commercial fleets that blend it up to about a B20. So it's biodiesel. It's a methyl ester, just like biodiesel that any other biodiesel plant makes, except it's made enzymatically. And so it gets into the motor fuel market the same way biodiesel does. It gets blended with petroleum diesel.
Now, for an ethanol plant who is really starting to look at this idea, I think we're really starting to see this idea on the concept of a biorefinery, which, especially a renewable diesel technology, really hits on that concept of biorefinery.
Yeah.
But an ethanol plant could do one of two things, correct? They could bolt on or add the biodiesel facility, which is the more traditional one, or they could do a, but with a renewable diesel, you could do that as, you could place it next to an ethanol plant, correct? But you could also do that as a completely standalone facility, am I correct?
You could do both, and we've done both, but the real, you know, our focus has been obviously the ethanol industry, so we've designed it around the bolt-on concept. We actually are designing a freestanding renewable diesel plant for an obligated party petroleum company that will be built in Louisiana. But the integration for both of them is really part of the benefit and makes the whole concept more attractive.
Now, could you do both? Could an ethanol plant say, hey, Bernie, I'm liking both of these technologies. Depending on what the market's looking like, I like the option of maybe switching from one to the other. Could you bolt on a biodiesel facility and this renewable diesel facility into an ethanol plant?
Sure. We'd love that. But you know, the practical reality is an ethanol plant can only make so much corn oil. So, you know, to do both, they'd have to go outside their plant and procure feedstocks from other plants or other sources. And these processes are very feedstock flexible. So in theory, they could run, and we've tested, you know, restaurant waste oil that makes a very nice fuel, brown grease, which is typically a low grade byproduct of animal processing. Yellow grease, which is an abundant feedstock in the market. You can run higher quality, like technical tallows or bleached white grease. Certainly you can make it out of soybean oil, but you know, there's no incentive to do that. And we've even tested algae oil, and it makes a great fuel, but you know, we all know there's not much commercially available algae oil yet. And then if you're in the right place, for instance, the plant we're looking at in the Gulf Coast, they'll probably bring palm oil in from international sources. So it's certainly possible. And you know how, we all know how ethanol plants think. It's economies of scale. So, gee, if I'm going to build a 2 million gallon plant for X, why don't I build a 4 for, you know, X plus 50%, and I'll buy corn oil from my competitor down the street, or I'll buy yellow grease from the packing house in Garden City or whatever. So we're going to see all sorts of versions of this.
So for an ethanol plant who's interested, which, by the way, if they're not, they're kind of crazy. I mean, they should definitely be interested in this.
We think that.
You know, I mean, I think if you look forward, and I should have said, just because this company's been started in mid-2000s doesn't mean you haven't been in this industry for much longer than that. You've seen the changes.
Yeah.
From an outsider looking in, I don't see, whether it's 5, 10 years from now, a current ethanol plant who hasn't sort of created these additional byproducts succeeding. So, and one of the things that I think is really cool about your technology is you said it's sort of feedstock agnostic, where you can change these feedstocks based on the market.
Right.
So for an ethanol plant who's interested, you know, what's this process? How long does it take from the point that they contact you and make a decision to see an operational renewable diesel facility and or biodiesel facility?
Well, the renewable plant is a more complicated plant. You know, you're dealing with higher temperatures and pressures, a catalyst, the metallurgy is different, and there's some longer lead time items. We tell people for the renewable plant from go to startup, it's about an 18-month process. Likely not that long, but you know, we like to, as everybody does, sort of, you know, under-promise and over-deliver, where the biodiesel plant will look and feel a lot like an ethanol plant. The pumps are the same, the motors are the same, the metallurgy is the same. you know, all of the transmitters and level indicators, everything. I mean, it'll be a very seamless integration for a plant. It's reasonably easy to build. We're telling people 6 months, and part of that's because it requires an EPA certification to generate the RINs, and that process takes about 6 months. We can probably build the plant about four. We can build a plant faster than we can get the EPA approval.
Now, Bernie, what about the EPA? Now, do you still need EPA approval on the renewable diesel since you are using a different feedstock? And obviously the feedstock, the renewable diesel you're producing is, you know, it's a lot lower carbon intensity and more environmentally friendly. So are you still going through that process? And if so, what category is your renewable diesel landing in right now?
Well, the renewable diesel has been certified by the EPA as an advanced fuel. It earns 1.7 D4 RINs, which is very attractive, where, by contrast, biodiesel earns 1.5 D4 RINs. But it needs the same process. You have to get an EPA certification and a facility ID, just like you would if you were building a biodiesel plant.
And WB Services helps with all this, correct? You know, you come in and you're full service here. You're helping train people when it's ready to go. You're helping them get through the process of approvals, all of that, correct?
Yeah, we've done that. So we feel like we can help people walk through that process. We actually have staff people that's all they will do is help client plants with the EPA certification. The EPA requires a third-party engineering review. We can't do that because we're not a third party. But we have a third-party engineering firm that we use for that independent review. So, yeah, that's part of the whole. It's kind of a turnkey thing that we like to do. And so we help them with that, and you know, we help them with the offtake. We help them with feedstock procurement if they're looking outside their plant, because we bought feedstock from literally dozens of different sources. So we try and cover every conceivable need they would have.
So, Bernie, I'm really hoping that when we sit down here in a couple months or hopefully no longer than 6 months, we have some more plants on board here. So for those that have finally heard about your technology and are interested, where can they go to get more information? What's your website address?
Well, our website is www.wbservicesllc.com.
Can they call you directly as well?
Absolutely. Okay. My direct line is 316-751-2045, and we're trying to get more tech savvy. We just hired our first full-time IT guy, so we're going to try and do the Facebook and Twitter and learn from Patriot. I spent some time with Gene Griffith, and they're doing some cool stuff. They've gone from like 6 hits a day to 7,000 or something. I guess I'm a little bit of a dinosaur, because I don't go to Facebook for my updates, but apparently a lot of people do.
Yeah. A lot of your consumers who are listening to this are going to get this off Facebook, Bernie. So we're all going there, but let's keep in touch, you know, especially as you get further along in some of these facilities and let people know about all the stuff that you're doing to advance the industry.
There will be press releases in the next 30 days of plants that are building these. So Great. We've got them in the pipeline.
Great. Thanks, Bernie.
All right. Thanks, Joanna.